God. In the main class here today, I want to say it's good to see Brother Tracy here today. Looks like he's feeling good. Doesn't his color look better in Jesus' name? That's a walking miracle right there. A couple weeks ago, he was laying in a hospital, and the doctor said if he ever comes out, he'll probably be a vegetable. But that looks way better than a vegetable to me, amen? That looks like a man that God has touched and doing good, got a smile on his face, and been in church the last couple Sundays, and the doctors, I bet, are mighty surprised with his progress. But it's amazing when you mix a little bit of God with a little bit of flesh, what can come out. It can make a pretty good product, amen? If you just use all flesh, it can come out pretty ugly. But you mix God with that flesh, and all of a sudden, he can make something that's a messed up piece of clay, and he can make a beautiful thing out of that. We are going to be preaching here for a little while. Out of Romans chapter number 5, we're going to be in Romans chapter 5 and number 6. Thank you if you could stand for the reading of the Word of God. We are going to read here just for a few moments out of the book of Romans. I know I've been preaching a little bit out of Romans here lately, and this book is a very good book. It's a book that will help you learn how to live for God. It's a book that will help you learn to walk right, live right, protect yourself, protect your mind, protect your family, your children. And we need those things in today's world because this is a messed up world. This is a world headed in the wrong direction at a breakneck speed. And if God don't intervene, there's going to be a lot of folks that's going to be sadly disappointed when they stand before God. And they're going to say, well, I didn't know there was anything wrong with that. And I feel he's going to look at them and say, well, did you ever bother looking at the Word of God? Because it really does matter. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. While you're turning there, I want to say it's good to have Mona Lou with us again today. When she can sneak over here on a Sunday afternoon, we were honored that you would come over with us. We know she's still a part of Brother Vile's church, but we're honored that she comes over and hangs out with us when she can. Chapter number 5, verse number 1, it says, therefore, being justified, everybody say justified, by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's key two things that I want to pull out of this scripture in particularly. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Justification comes by faith through Jesus Christ. Now, we're skipping over to verse number 8 of this same chapter. If you could skip down there, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, just take that scripture at face value. While I was still unlovable, God loved me. That's amazing to me that a God would love me that much. But he says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, everybody say, justified. Justified. By what? So the justification comes through whose blood? The blood of Jesus Christ. We shall be saved from what? From wrath through him, or judgment, if you want to call it that. So the fact that the justification of faith in his blood is what gives us an escape route from the wrath or the judgment to come. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by what? The life of who? Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The atonement for what? Our sin. Think about that. While we were yet enemies, we received an atonement through Jesus Christ for our sins when we didn't even deserve it because we were still sinners. Verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, no, that's referring to Adam. And death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. It said that Paul is writing to the Romans. He said, we are all worthy of death. because of sin that came into the world because of one man. And because of that one man, it is a perpetual cycle of a birth of sinners into this world. That tells us we're all worthy of death because of sin. But how many's glad the story doesn't end there? It says, wherefore, as why one man sinned into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned from the similitude of Adam's transgression. He said, even those that didn't sin the way Adam sinned still had sin. I know that's a tongue twister.
That's true.
It says, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Think about this. Is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much, everybody say more. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Just like sin came in by one man, so did the atonement by another. And that is the man Christ Jesus. The blood that was shed on Calvary is the blood that gives the atonement for your sin. Let's flip over to Romans chapter number 6. I realize I'm reading the lengthy passages of Scripture. If you'll allow me the liberty to do that, I will let you be seated in just a minute. But how many knows we need more of the Word of God, not less? I could stand up here and tell you a good story, make you all feel good and send you home. Or we can talk about something that's going to save your soul. I'm voting for the latter. How about you? Chapter number 6, verse number 18. And we're going to read the rest of that chapter. It's just a short passage there. Now, I want you to pay close attention to what Paul is saying in Romans chapter number 6, verse 18. He said, being then made free from sin. Through what? Remember, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that gave us the atonement. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You traded masters. You're no longer serving sin, but now you're serving righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members to servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servant of sin, ye were free from righteousness. He said, just because I'm preaching grace doesn't mean you don't have to change your life.
That's right.
But we don't hear that today, do we?
That's right.
He said, just the fact that you were no longer a servant to sin, you became a slave to righteousness. Now that you're a servant to righteousness, you no longer have to be a slave to sin. It says, verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things thereof ye now ashamed? He said, what good did you have to offer when you were under the servant of sin? He said, in fact, you were ashamed of what you were. It says, for the end of those things is death. What you used to be was going to bring sure destruction. But look at verse 22. But now. Think about that. Now things are different. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I realize that's a long passage of Scripture, but if you caught everything that was said there, we got a whole lot to be thankful for.
That's right.
Can we bow our heads right now as we begin to pray as God would direct us through the Word of God? Dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything you're doing here today. I pray you'll guide my tongue, my spirit, my mind into what you have put into me, God, that I can impress something into the folks here today of exactly something that was going to draw them closer to you and give them a hope beyond this life. and that hope is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Very rarely do this, but if you give me the liberty to read a section of thing that I wrote here while studying for this message in the third person perspective, I want you just to think from the world's perspective what it is like in this world. There it is in the distance, in the slow beating and the chanting of the listless, confused state of a world step by step slipping further and further into a place where they're bound into addictions, the love of money, lust, fornication, unnatural affections, hate, riotous revelers, abortion, abuse, marriage in decay, and at an all-time low, disobedient to parents, step by step headed for destruction. But wait, there it is. It's hard to see, but no, I'm not sure. Could this many people be wrong? Would God really send that many people to a judgment of an eternity of hell? Isn't God a God of love? And in your mind you begin to wonder, and then there it is again, a glimmer and a glisten in the distance. And the more you look, the brighter it gets. It seems so far away, but the closer you get, the more you can see the broken lives scattered in the stench and chaos and the sin. It all becomes a reality. All there is to life. Is this all there really is in life? I've never really seen it like this before, but this is not right. Look at myself, a broken wretch of a person. I didn't know I could have gone this far. Look at the chains that hold me captive and the people around me that are locked into a life that they didn't intend to go into. We'd think it would take us this far, and the closer I get to the light, the more I see my life for what it really is. It's nothing. And now not what I intended for. Not only that, as I look at the masses, now I see the hidden agenda of the devil and why his life and the darkness and deception, why he wants to do those things. Because when you come into the light, it all looks different. And then you see it. There's the road. The masses. There are that really where it's going is really destruction, death, brokenness, sin. And as they head down, you see very few are coming out. I want you just to get a grasp of the hopelessness of this world. Most people, when they got up in the morning, went out with their friend and decided to try a drop of alcohol, never intended for it to consume their life. I want you to think of the young mother that went out and did things that she wasn't supposed to and fell into sin, and now she's got children out of wedlock and she can barely afford the bills. This wasn't where that night was intended to go. I want you to think about the young man that was headed into life and the popularity gathered him and began to pull him into the masses of people, and he finds himself at the party that night, and all of a sudden there's a little bit of marijuana being passed around, and he didn't want to be the odd man out, but he never intended this to be what it was, that every waking moment he's driven to another high in order just to survive the next day. And it's a passion now that it's consuming him, and he's locked into a world of a prison that he can't seem to escape. Pretty soon it becomes a lifestyle. Becomes a way of life. Broken homes. Broken marriages. Love wherever you want it. Addictions. And the things that come with it. Until finally, this is just a normal way of life. Satan has locked them into something that's not really a reality, but in their world, it is a normal thing in their life. They don't know anything different. This is all there is to life, is to get up the next morning and just try to survive in this world that the devil has created for them, that God didn't intend for them, but they have been boxed into this thing called life. They can't seem to escape. I want you to think about the individual that many of us probably know that looks into the glimmer of one little beacon of hope called God. I want you to think about the fact that the closer they come to God, the more they really realize how messed up this really is. They've never seen this before. They've never seen this side of it. This seemed normal and natural, but the closer they come to God, they look around and say, seriously, is this what my life has become? I never looked at myself as being this. I never looked at myself as being this lost and this disoriented that I can't hold a job. I can't even keep friends because of my attitudes. And the reality is, isn't it amazing that the closer you come to God, the more you begin to see really those around you, that you think, goodness gracious, don't they see what God is and what the devil is trying to do to them? God didn't intend that for their life. But it begins to illuminate not only your life, but the life of those around you. The closer you come to the light of God. It's hard sometimes when you get to that point. And if I can muse on from a little bit that I had written, and no doubt as they began to look down that road and that little glimmer of light that was in that distance, and they began to migrate towards it, they began to see more and more and more and more. And all of a sudden they start to see the death of their friends and the overdoses and the things that are happening around them. And they start to see those things for really what they are. Brother Donnie was telling me about a friend, and I hope it doesn't bring up bad thoughts, but Brother Donnie was telling me about a young man that actually was baptized in the Walkerton United Pentecostal Church a few years ago, that when he went to visit him, he was in a coma for weeks and weeks and weeks because of an overdose. But the reality is, when you start to see those things around you and you start to see really what the agenda of the devil is, and that is to destroy anything that has any representation of God. And the best thing he can destroy is the very thing that's created and made in the image of God, and that's called man. If he can lock man into a world of sin until he finally consumes them and convinces them to either take their life, or he can destroy their life through the addictions that he's bound them in until they're dead and they don't have a chance to ever get back to a Savior. I come to tell somebody, that's not the will of God for your life. God paid too big of a price so that you could be saved, to let the devil determine your outcome for eternity. I can imagine as individual headed down the wrong road begins to see the light. It may just be a friend at work. It may be someone at Walmart in the checkout line that they look and say, you know what? They look so happy. Why can't my life be like that? Look at that family over there. They look at their kids. Look, her husband actually goes grocery shopping with her. I'm lucky to see mine once a week. When you think about those things, no doubt the farther they look, they begin to migrate towards that light and they see more of the death and destruction. And then all of a sudden they've been heading down this road and they're so weary and they're so tired and all they need is just a drink water. Just something that can satisfy a soul that's burnt out on this world, burnt out on life, sick of what the devil's handed them, and all they need is something different. If I may muse a bit farther, and they can see in the distances, looks like almost like a river, a fountain. But it doesn't look like any other river or any other fountain, but it looks different. And you can see as people are getting into that fountain and into that river, they're coming out different. And they're going in with baggage. They're going in with bondage. But when they're coming out with happiness, with the joy, and with the peace. It doesn't make sense. I've never seen anything like that. Can something like that really happen? It doesn't. I don't understand how that can be. And I wonder if sometimes they can even see as... it's a little bit strange. They've never seen this before. As they're starting to head that way, all of a sudden there's somebody that comes alongside them and says, "Hey, don't give up. You can do it. You can make it. Don't stop now." Didn't have that in the other road I was traveling. It was a lonely road. It was a dark road. I couldn't see my way. I just kind of followed the masses as they were heading into a place that the Bible says that broad is the way of destruction, and narrow is the path that leadeth to righteousness, and few be that find it. But I can imagine as those individuals began to see, those other individuals around them that's up ahead on the trail, and they watch him. They're going into that water and they're coming out different. And their life's starting to change and everything around them is different. They don't seem to have the weight and the bondage upon them. I was with a young man at our church today. I'd grown up with as a young child. He was a lot older than I was. He said he was on the job. We baptized him and his wife and his children. His boy, not his daughter yet, but baptized them just not too long ago. And he said he seen one of the guys that he used to work with. And he said he was working at a school system here last week. And he said he walked up and he goes, "Man, something's different about you." He said, "You don't look all stressed out." He said, "I remember when I worked on those jobs with you." He said, it was every other word was a cuss word. And it was just constant stress. He said, "You look so stress-free now. What's different about you?" And he said, I just kind of chuckled. I said, "Oh, it's way different now. It is nothing like it used to be." He said, "I quit thinking the way I used to think, living the way I used to live." He said, "I started going to church and I got a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's totally different now." But you see those individuals up ahead. The closer you migrate to the light, I will tell you what I've told many. This is the biggest struggle for most people when they're heading in the right direction and they're looking to a place that can change their world and take away all the excess weight and all the extra garbage that they seem to pick up along the way. And they're barely able to struggle there. But if they can just get to a place, the Bible says they're an atonement for their sins. Bible terms it as a justification. A place where someone stands in the gap that says, "You know what? I'm going to justify what they've done. They in themselves are worthy of death. But when you look at their lives, the world may say they should die. It's not the gauge I'm judging them by. I'm judging them through a different set of glasses. And this set of glasses is called mercy. This set of glasses is called grace. And they look much different than what a normal mortal eye will see. It's vastly different. If the world were to judge them, they would cast them away. They would stone them. They would destroy them. They don't deserve to live. But that's not the glasses I'm judging them through. Glasses I'm judging them through changes the perspective, because there's a crimson stream that begins to trickle across the glasses that I'm judging them through. And when you look through the crimson stream of blood called Calvary, it makes their life look much different, because I don't see everything that you see. I don't see what used to be. All I see is what is. I don't see what the old man was, but all I see what is now. And I see something that has been bought with a price that they couldn't pay. It was bought with the blood of someone that they didn't know. And while they were yet sinners, God loved them. And that is the eyes that I'm looking through at this point called judgment. I wonder if they can hear as they get closer and they're beginning to venture closer to that place. Even if they can, as the book of Hebrews says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, as if those witnesses might begin to cheer that says, come on, you're almost there. You can do this. You don't have to head down that other road. If you can just get on that path, it'll lead you to everlasting life. May even muse, I wonder even if sometimes God doesn't seem to send down, even probably like in Brother Tracy's case. Angels sometimes unaware says, hey, you're making a lot of effort to head in the right direction. I'm going to send an extra little boost. The Bible calls them ministering spirits to come down and help you along the way. Just to make sure you get there. I believe we serve a God that loves us that much. You see, the world can't understand this. The world can't fathom a God like that. But that's the kind of God that I get up every morning and I put my hand in His hand. That's the kind of God that loves me when I lay my head down at night and I can put my head down on a pillow and go to sleep with peace in my life. The biggest issue people have is when they get that close. Those that have gone before are giving them a cheer. Those that are on the trail are grabbing them by the arm saying, come on, one more step, you're almost there, you can do this. So many times they begin to look back to what used to be. May I tell you, that's a dangerous thing to do. Because the devil will trip you up and say, think about everything you're going to lose. Think about all your friends. Think about all your family. If you take that trail, they're not going with you. They're still back there. Maybe if I stay here in between, maybe I can pull them and bring them with me. But the Bible doesn't bear that out. The Bible says to seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you try to bridge the gap and try to pull those others before you can carry them, you're going to take on a double weight. And I can tell you, the devil will destroy you before you ever make it in. But the Bible says, can just make it to the place. You may term it a river. The Bible calls it a river of living water. If I might muse, you know why the water looks so different? Average person, it just looks like a tank of water. It's just a place. A little pool of water. It's no big deal. Faith makes it different. The Bible says we're justified by faith. And the Bible also says without faith it's impossible to please God. You know why it's impossible to please God without faith? Because you can't please God without the justification for the sin in your life. And without that justification, you'll never get there. And without a faith that God is going to meet you there and He's going to remove every sin that you've ever committed, then you'll never get there. You'll never have that faith. But it takes a faith to look at a preacher in the eye and say, Say, will you please just get me to a place that I can have all of this weight taken off of me? I don't think I can step another step. Life has become too difficult. The world has weighted me down. I've carried all of this baggage so long. Either I find God or I'm going to find death. I can't go on anymore. That's where faith steps into your life. You go down in a watery grave of baptism. You come up. You can jump. You can shout. You can dance. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I worked on the farm all the time. So I wore steel-toed work boots all the time. I was either doing hay, working on tractors, doing something like those things like that. I wore work. I'd play basketball with the boys at the church. I'd be out there playing in a pair of work boots. Everybody called me the hillbilly. But I'll never forget when I'd get into gym class. Couldn't wear work boots on the gym floor. I'd put on a pair of tennis shoes. I thought, man, it's different playing basketball in a pair of tennis. My feet ain't, them Red Wings were a little heavy. I was carrying a lot of extra weight. I can run. I can jump. I'm free now. That's sometimes, if you want to imagine how our life is after we receive Christ in our life and we've laid all that garbage down at the feet of the cross and we traded in our old man and now we've got a new man and you think, wow, this feels good. Great. I've not felt this since, I don't know if I've ever felt this. But it doesn't end there. That's just the beginning. Because you traded in all of the junk. But now you've got all this vacant time. You're not going out drinking with the guys anymore. You're not watching the garbage on TV that you used to watch anymore because you don't feel comfortable watching that stuff anymore. And you think, I'm trying to live different, so I'm not hanging out with the people I used to hang out with. And now you're sitting around the house thinking, man, I wish the phone would ring. Have you ever been there before? You know, boredom is one of the worst struggles people have with falling into sin. Sit around, you get bored. What happens to the mind? It starts to turn, doesn't it? All of a sudden you start thinking about stuff that you could be doing. Places you could be going. Friends you could hang out with. I want us to think about as a church. What's going to fill that time when they quit drinking? What's going to fill that time when they quit hanging out with their old friends? News for us, folks. Discipleship is a lot of work. It means I'm going to have to take some of my time. I'm not saying every week. But could we devote an hour or two a week to go invest in somebody else that may be sitting around when the four walls are closing in and all they can think about is a bottle of booze? If I could just add one in the house right now, I'd probably drink it. Think about the life that they're struggling with and the walls are all caving in. And if the friend could come over, if we could just get one more toke on some weed. You know what? They sit around and think that long enough. You know where they're going to go? Right back to the man they used to be or lady that they used to be. But what fills that void in our lives? It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God. He doesn't leave you vacant for the devil to come back in and fill you all back up again. That's not the will of God for your life. But the Bible says that you should be filled with a river of living water. The Spirit of God now. You don't have those. His praise shall be continually upon my mouth. I don't think about the music I used to listen to. I don't think about all of that junk. You know what I think about? Thank God for saving me. I thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I may not be everything I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not the man that I used to be. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Think about it. For it washes white as snow. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I was headed down the wrong road. I didn't have a hope. I was headed for death. The Bible says destruction. But God stepped in. And he didn't just take the burden off of my life. But Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That gives the atonement. That gives the justification through a faith that a God would love you. He would come and die for you. And now you could be washed in his blood and you could be justified in the presence of the Almighty. But it doesn't end there. I was talking about the gift. But then the Bible says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It'll fill you. And you know what? It's not me sitting around by myself now. But now I'm going to get up and say, you know what? I don't remember feeling this enthusiasm. I don't remember being this excited about anything in my life. I don't remember a bicycle. I don't remember a drug. I don't remember a high. I don't remember anything that ever rejuvenated me like this. Bro, have I told you what happened to me last Sunday night? And you know what? You will find everybody and their brother. Even if it's an enemy that you're going to go to and you're going to say, you know what? You won't understand this. But something happened to me last week. And Brother Tracy's got more of a testimony than probably him. I was dead last week, but now I'm alive. You wouldn't understand this. You couldn't even comprehend me laying in a hospital bed and the doctor looking at my mom and say, tomorrow you may have to take him off the life support. And then 2 days later, all of a sudden, guess what? My eyes pop open and you know what? Could I have a cup of coffee? You wouldn't understand this, but the God that I serve made my life so different. You know what? You ain't going to want to sit around in those four walls anymore. You know what? You're going to want to go down to the skate park where the young boys are hanging out and say, you know what? That's all fun and that's all good, but what are you going to do with the rest of your life, young man? There's a big world out there. What are you going to do for a job? You're going to raise your family? You're going to take your kids to church? You know what? You may have never went to church, but look at me. Look what I used to be, but look what I am now. What if your kids never had to go through what I went through? As the music is coming, I'm coming to a close. As we all stand, I realized I went a little long today. I apologize. But I ask you today, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, what stage of the journey are you on?